Good morning, church. We are glad that you are with us vicariously. We thought we'd make this as normal as we possibly could, so we would like to welcome you, each and every one, the body here, Sunrise. We're glad that you found this. And for those of you that are listening for the first time or just stumbled upon us or just found us, we're glad that you are with us, and we just pray that our time together will be glory to God and will be beneficial to the body. Now, a couple of notes. I'm not used to being videotaped, so speaking to an empty room is not something that comes naturally to me, so I'm going to be looking to the sides, but I'm picturing your faces here with me, and I know that you would rather be here with me. So if I get to speak into your area of the auditorium, it's probably something you need to pay attention to. Okay, so it's only me in the building here with Ben Setliff. He's helping me out with all of the technical work today. So we're going to bring a service for you today. Here's what we've got in store. We're going to spend some time in prayer, and we put a note on the Facebook page. If you have prayer requests, please let us know. We will lift those up, and we've got prayer warriors at home that will pray for your needs. So we're going to begin with some time in prayer. We're going to have our sermon, our message this morning, and so make sure you got your Bible and you're ready to go, because you know we're going to be in it. And then after the sermon is over, we are going to have our time of communion. We hope that you have gotten supplies either this morning from the parking lot. Tony and Dale were out there handing out supplies early this morning. And if not, hopefully you've got some supplies in your kitchen that you can use. So we'll let you go ahead and take a minute to get all of those. I will be going through with a communion service and taking the time so that you and your family, that we can commune together. Church, we all know that this is strange, this is difficult, and this is not what we are used to. And that's okay. That's okay. Because if all of life is exactly what we were used to, we would be so bored of it. And maybe some of us have gotten so bored of it. So hopefully this time, this new challenge, this new adventure will be seen that way by God's children. And we will do exactly what I'm hoping the message will do today. Be encouraged and strengthened to figure out, how do I live my faith in this strange new world? So we're glad you're here with us. For those of you visiting, or those of you that don't know, my name is Michael, so I guess I just took for granted that everybody would know that. We are glad that you are here. Church, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for a beautiful day in which we can gather together through these means of technology. Father, this is not how we would have planned it. This is not exactly how we want it, but we are thankful to have this tool to help us worship you together. Father, I lift up the body at Sunrise. I lift them up to you, and I ask your blessings to be upon them. I pray, Father, that you strengthen them, that you protect them from illness. I pray, Father, that their faith is real during this time of challenge. I pray, Father, that families grow closer together. I pray, Father, that we find our servant hearts and we continue to do whatever it is that we can do for our neighbors, for our loved ones, and for those around us. Father, this morning, we want to ask that your body, that the church here and all around the world will be faithful and strong. We pray, Father, that you increase our faith so that we do not forget, that we do not lose hope, that we do not put our trust in other things. Father, we lift up our leadership. Father, we pray for the leaders of households as they make tough decisions. We pray for the leadership of our church and your church all over, that they continue to serve and look out for and do what they can and what they need to do for your people. Father, we lift up our leaders in this country that are making decisions every day that directly affect our lives. We pray, Father, that they will have hearts for the people that they serve, We pray that they will have minds that are focused on you. And we just pray, Father, that you give them wisdom. We pray for leaders all over this world as this virus has connected us in ways that we have not been before. So we pray and we lift up all the leaders of the world that they will understand and realize that all kingdoms are yours. That you alone are God. That Jesus is the only Lord of all things. So I pray that all of us in any level or type of leadership position will be good stewards with what you have put in our care until Jesus comes back, until every knee shall bow, until every tongue shall confess the truth that we by faith already know, Jesus Christ is Lord. Heavenly Father, we pray that you be with those that are fighting the virus. We ask for healing. We pray that you be with all of those medical workers that are on the front line. We pray that you strengthen their hands. We pray that you give them the faith and the strength that they need to continue to serve, that you will protect them from getting sick so that they may serve those that are. Father, this morning we specifically lift up the Spear family. Matt's dad finished his fight and he went home. And we pray that you be with Matt and his mom. Watch over them. Comfort them. Give their family peace right now. We just pray that they will turn to you, look to you, and trust you at all times. Father, we thank you for hearing our prayer. We thank you for saving us from our sins. And my prayer is that today, that your word will come through. That today will not be judged by a performance. But Father, we will hear you speak because we need to hear you speak today. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, go ahead and open your Bible to Psalm 124. Psalm 124. We've only missed one official week together, and I know it's felt like a lot longer than that. Believe me, it has for me as well. But what we were doing before that is the songs of ascent. And these are the songs that Israel sang together as they came together on the high days of worship throughout the year. So it's kind of ironic that our worship has been interrupted. But I decided, and the Holy Spirit showed me, we thought it was wise that we just continue on and we continue to learn how to praise God, to trust God, because sometimes our worship is during difficult times. Sometimes it is not in the safety and the comfort of our own auditorium. Sometimes it's in the safety and comfort of your home, like it is this morning. And so even though things look a little different and have been changed, we're going to press on. For those of you that are just joining us, we started in Psalm 120. And just to give a recap, Psalm 120, Israel laments their surroundings. They look around and say, Lord, it is really bad out here and everybody's evil, which drives them to come to his presence. Psalm 121, as they walk to Jerusalem, the paths and the roads are surrounded by hills, and so they lift up their eyes to the hills and they see all the things in the world and all the alternatives that the world offers us to focus on instead of God himself. And then in 122, they've made it to Jerusalem and they say, let's go to worship. They delight in the house of the Lord. In Psalm 123, they said, we look above the hills to our Lord. And so the last time we were together, we talked about the fact that we have to look beyond everything that tempts us to stop short, to give our attention and our focus and our hearts to something less than God. So we look beyond the hills and we see our Father. Psalm 124, this is our text this morning and this is what we're going to continue with. Psalm 124 can be described, if you need to put a note and write something on there, God is our help. And what an awesome message for today. So let's read this together. Psalm 124. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive. When their anger was kindled against us, then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. God is on our side. And the amazing thing about this psalm, the amazing thing about God's people marching up to Jerusalem, marching into His presence to lift Him up in worship, they're not asking God to be in their presence. They're not asking God to be in their heart. They're not asking that God will join in the journey. They're not asking God to be a part of their lives. They are proclaiming that God is with us. Church, how powerful is that? When Jesus Christ Himself came to this earth, as He is born into the world, the Holy Spirit says, the angel said to His parents, "You shall name Him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. Church, our message, our battle cry, everything that we have to go through, whatever it is on our journey as we head home to Jerusalem, as we await the new Jerusalem to come down from heaven, we are coming together and we are proclaiming our witness to ourselves and to the world around us. God is with us. And I know it's tempting. It's tempting taking current circumstances, Taking whatever political stand or whatever decisions you've made by all of the world's government's ability to stop everything, to make everything cease. Wherever you stand on any of that, church, the point is that God is with us. We shall not fear. We shall not fail to reach our destination. We will get to Jerusalem. And along the way, on our journey, these songs are so powerful. So I want you to sing this week, God is with you. He is guiding your steps. He is constantly at your side. He is surrounding your family with safety, with love, and protection. Now, some people are going to say, well, Michael, that's not my situation. You see, I'm suffering. I'm having a hard time. I'm just going crazy being cooped up here in the house. Where is God during all this? Church, God is with us. He has not left us. He has not forsaken us. That's His promise. That is His good word. And church, we can all be witness to this fact. Look, here's where we are. Our freedom to move has been hindered. It has. It has. We're trying to get through this as fast as possible. And so our point is not to complain about what we have lost. Our point is to figure out how do we live our faith and how do we do this Christian life with the circumstances that we find ourselves in. Our kids are stuck at home. Some of you have become teachers. It may be part-time tutors, but our kids are stuck at home. Some of us, a lot of us, are working from home. So we're thankful for our jobs. We're thankful for the work that we have. We are grateful for the opportunity and the technology that allows our work to move with us. God is there. Our assembly has been put on hold. Church, this is the strangest thing I've probably ever done in 21 years of ministry. Spoken to an empty room. Even spoken to a camera. I don't do this because I'm not trying to become viral. I'm not trying to become famous. I preach and proclaim God's word to people, to you, and you're not here. And it's weird. It's probably weird you sitting there, crowded around the phone, or if you've got the computer out, your family's sitting around saying, this is weird. This is. But God is with us. And so I will stand and proclaim, and you will stand and proclaim this week, God is with us. That fact has not changed. And so the psalmist says, just when everything is going against us, we will break free like that bird in a snare. Just like that bird that got its foot caught in that trap, and it's flapping its wings and it's not going anywhere. And it's thinking, oh no, this is it, this is the end, the hunter has caught me. And just at the last moment, you can imagine the fowler coming to check his traps. It's that bird, the knot slips around his foot, and then he flaps his wings, and finally he gains his freedom. Or maybe if some of you are fishermen, you see it from the fish's point of view. You just work and you fight and you reel. I like that show, Wicked Tuna, where they get so much money for that one fish and they only have a short number of days that they can fish to make their living for their family. And it's always that fight of, you know, will they reel that large tuna fish in, or will the fish get away? And a show, of course, is taken from the fisherman's side. I like to root for the fish. I like to see the fish get away. And that's what this psalm says, that when everything's falling apart and everything's coming around, you just be like that bird that slips the snare and flies to freedom. You be like that giant tuna that has a hook in your mouth, but you're not taken into the enemy's boat. You break away. And that's what we're looking forward to. And so today may not feel like it. Today you may feel like you got the hook in your mouth. Today you may feel like you got the rope around your leg, or even worse, around your neck. And you're wondering, where is God? How's God going to see us through? God is with us. We have the evidence throughout our entire lives. The fact that I am able even to stand here and speak this message to you. God is with us. And so we celebrate and we say, back in Psalm 124, verse 6, blessed be the Lord who has not given us his prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snares of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. So look, church, our praise and our worship, and you're wondering, what do I have to worship about? Your help comes in the Lord. Your problems they're down here. Your problems are down here in heaven and earth. But the maker of heaven and earth, he is your help. He is the one who provides your deliverance, your freedom. And so you and I as Christians, those who wear the name of Jesus, those who proclaim the salvation of Jesus, you and I are free from our sins. Think about your former life. The Apostle Paul loved to do this, and I was asked to tell my testimony a couple weeks ago, and I was very uncomfortable, because as much as you hear me talk, I don't like to talk about myself. I like to talk about what God's doing, what Jesus is doing. It's much more exciting than what I do. But I was asked to think about my testimony, and I have a hard time thinking about my testimony, my story. But the Apostle Paul, he was a master at this. I go back and read the New Testament, and over the Apostle Paul would tell anyone who would listen, look, this is where I came from, this is who I was, and this is what Jesus did for me. See, church, this beautiful Psalm 124 has been lived out in our lives when you and I were lost in sin. We were stuck. We were dead. We had nothing good going for us. We weren't worth anything. We were living for ourselves. We were living for the moment. We were pleasing ourselves. And Jesus breaks through, just like he broke through for Saul on the road to Damascus. Saul thought everything was going fine. And some of us have that story. Some of our testimony is, Jesus interrupted me. I was walking along the road, I was living my life, I was minding my own business, and the gospel broke in. The good news of Jesus disrupted my life. And after hearing it, and after seeing Jesus face to face, after seeing clearly into his love, into his mercy, into his grace, after realizing and understanding what he has to offer me, I couldn't walk anywhere else. And so for me, for you, for us, God is with us. Turning your Bible over to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to take a look at this text today as well, because this text, this New Testament scripture, gives us a wonderful opportunity to encourage us and instruct us to live our faith in a world of social distancing. Our life has changed, but our faith can't change. Our life has been disrupted, but our ideals are the same. Look, church, we're not here this morning. I mean, we're here in spirit, but we're not here in this building. We cannot stop being the church, because we have always said the church is not the building. The church is the people. Excellent. You're still the people. God still put breath in your mouth. Use it. Use it. Live it. And that's what Hebrews chapter 13 is going to help us do. Because right in the middle of Hebrews chapter 13, look at verse 5. In verse 5 of Hebrews chapter 13, we get this beautiful promise. He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God has said, I will not leave you and I will not forsake you. So God is with us. God has not forgotten about us. He has not gone away as the gods of old were thought Elijah speaking against the prophets of Baal? Elijah speaking against the prophets of Baal, and he was mocking them, saying, well, you know, maybe Baal's asleep. Maybe Baal's relieving himself, so you need to scream louder. You need to dance around even more. You need to work hard to get God's attention. Church, the one true God does not have to be treated that way. He loves you so much, He cares about you so much, that as soon as we turn to Him, as soon as we cry out to Him, as soon as we call to Him, He is there. He is closer than we imagine. We've just got to open our eyes. We've got to open our hearts. We've got to see things as He sees things. We have to have the screen pulled back, like Elisha did for the young servant. We have to have that screen pulled back and see what is really going on around us. Because church, as many physical things have gone around us in the last couple of weeks, there are things going on behind the scenes. And it's real easy for you and I to just say, well, okay, I guess this is where we are now. This is my situation now. It's a little bit harder to say, okay, is this a blessing or a curse? And church, you're free to make that decision. You really are. You're free to make that decision. You're free to decide, will you continue to be faithful during this time? Or will you just let it all go and think, nothing matters, so who cares what I do? We get to make that decision. But right here in the middle of Hebrews chapter 13, God says, I will never leave you or forsake you. He's actually getting it from Deuteronomy. This is an old promise. This is a long time word from God. So, we trust God in this difficult time. We believe that He will never leave us. So, how will we be distinct in this temporary time of social distancing? How will we still live our faith? Well, let's go back to the beginning of Hebrews chapter 13. Because I believe that this promise right in the middle of verse 5 is a linchpin that holds all of these things together for the entire chapter. So we're going to go back and I want you to hear the things that we are told to do. Because now is our chance to increase our faith, to follow it out, and to live like Jesus. So how does Jesus want us to live? Hebrews chapter 13 verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember those who are in prison, as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Keep your life free from the love of money. Be content with what you had, for He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them. All right. God's presence is right in the middle of His people doing all these wonderful things. So let's take a look at them. If you've got a pencil and you're an underliner, underline them. But these are the things that God wants us to see this week. These are the things that God wants us to live out in our faith in His presence. The first one, let brotherly love continue. Church, do not let your heart grow cold. Do not let your heart grow cold. People are not the enemy. I know that 6 feet and having to keep them away, just we see germs everywhere and fear of this virus just starts to see other people as potential carriers. They're not. Now, I don't suggest continuing the hugs that you did before. You know who you are. But you have to let brotherly love continue. We still have to treat each other right. We still have to look out for each other. We still have to care about each other. Because people are not a potential virus carrier. People are not just a walking body of disease. They are your brothers and sisters in Christ. Treat them as such. Number two, continue to show hospitality. Okay, that one's a little more scary. But you're still out in the world. You're making the grocery run. You're still doing things. You're going through the drive-thru. Continue to show hospitality. Continue to do whatever it is that you can to make others feel loved and welcome. Do that. Because you don't know if this is a messenger from God or not. You have no idea. So continue to show other people. Continue to show other people the love and the care that they need. The next one. Remember those who are in prison. Hey, we're all feeling a little bit in prison from all of this. Remember each other. Reach out to each other. Your text messages need to be full of encouraging words. You need to make phone calls. You've got the time. Call somebody. Have discussions with one another. Just spend 15 minutes. Say, hey, how's your day? How are the kids doing? It's not about just, hey, I'm calling you. Do you need anything? Because I can get something. Because most of us are going to say, no, we don't need anything. We're fine. And our physical needs are being met, but our need for interaction. So remember those who are imprisoned, because we're imprisoned with them, literally. So it's like this stuff was written for us. Pretty amazing. Verse 4, let marriage be held in honor. Look, husbands, wives, I'm talking to you because some of you have spent more time together this last week than you have in a long time. And some of you may be tired of each other. But we need to remember and hear the word of God. Let your marriage be held in honor. Don't do anything to each other or away from each other that would harm one another. Respect your marriage. Use this opportunity for your marriage to grow stronger. Use this time to remember that those people that are blessed to be in your home, under your roof, that's your home team. Love them. Take care of them. Respect them. Serve them. Be content. Be content. I like that one because that one's connected to the promise that we read in verse 5. Be content with what you have. It's pretty amazing as the economy does its thing and as some businesses are allowed to stay open, as some businesses have been closed down. Be content with what you have. I think I did pretty good. I've waited this long before I've said the words toilet paper, right? But there it is. I threw it out there. Be content with what you have, right? Don't worry about it. He'll provide. He'll provide. Okay? And those phone calls or those texts, if someone really is in that much danger of running out, you can ask somebody. They'll bring it to you. They'll bring it to you. Be content with what you have. God will take care of you. Verse 7, remember your leaders. Church, remember your leaders. Remember your leaders here in our body. I just ask you to lift up your elders in prayer. The decisions that they're making, those aren't easy decisions. The decisions last Sunday not to meet together, that wasn't an easy decision. The decisions and the care that they are still making for us, remember them. Also, take it a step further. Remember your leaders of this country. Look, our mayor at the city level, our governor at the state level, our president at the national level, these people who are in leadership positions during this very difficult and once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, they need to be lifted up. We want them to be making wise decisions. We want them to consider God in the things that they say and they do. So pray for them. Remember them in the hard work that they do. And finally, verse 9. Hebrews 13, verse 9, do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings. Do not let your faith get so lazy that you hear something that is not true and you just run away and follow it anyway. Church, we are looking forward to the day when we can all come back here. We are looking forward to that day when we can hug each other. We are looking forward to that day when we will be able to sing together, when we will cry together for what we have lost, and when we will cry together for what it is that we have in common. We're looking forward to that day, but until then, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Do not be led away by anything false or strange. Stay true to your faith. All right. This week, pray about these things. Pray about how can you be faithful? Ask God, how can I be faithful in these things, in our new surroundings, in our new parameters, and in our new circumstances? Church, we all know this, but I'm going to say it for those in the cheap seats or those, if anyone's forgotten. Faith always grows out of the difficult circumstances in our life. Our difficult circumstances, our pains and our troubles and our problems, those are the opportunities, and those are really the only times in our life when faith grows. When we experience life that is beyond ourselves. When we truly need help. When we need the presence of God in our lives, that's when our faith grows. It doesn't grow when we're sitting and just safe. Our faith doesn't grow when we're safe and everything's just going on as it always did. Our faith grows in these difficult times. So use these difficult times and grow your faith. I am so, so thankful that you were able to be with us today. I'm so thankful that this message has been able to get to you today. And so, I'm not going to offer a regular invitation. We usually do that at the end of our service. But I'm going to invite you, right where you are, to think about these things, to consider these things. I want you to pray about these things this week. This doesn't need to end with this message. This Hebrews chapter 13 needs to flourish in your life. The fact that God is with you needs to stay with you all day and all throughout this week. All right? So our invitation is that you take these things that the Lord has told us. These are the good things to do with your life. Take these things and live them. Work them out every single day. If you're stuck at home and the only people are your husband or your wife or your kids or your extended family, if those are the only people you come in contact with tomorrow, then that's who you show brotherly love to. If you have to get out Tuesday and you have to get supplies and you have to wait in a line 6 feet from someone else, if you have to walk through an uncrowded market or a store or some place, practice these things. Look, we all, just like that, learned how to practice social distancing. Church, Hebrews chapter 13, God's word to us is, even in these circumstances, you practice your faith. You practice Christian distancing. We're going to close this part of the service with a short prayer, and then we're going to move into our communion time. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, you have put an awesome word in our ears and in our hearts today. We believe and we know and we proclaim to the world that you are with us, that you will never leave us, that you will never forsake us. We thank you for your presence in our lives. And we have been encouraged through Hebrews chapter 13 to live this out. I pray, Father, that your presence is real in us this week. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. And thank you for your lessons every day on how to live it out. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and get the supplies that you need. We're going to have our time of communion together. And so in just a minute, I'd like to take a look at a scripture. And then in just a minute, Ben and I are going to take the Lord's Supper together. And we'll give you and your family time to take this communion together as well. Before we pray for the bread, before we remember the body of Jesus, I'd like us to think about something. In the 23rd chapter of Luke, Luke 23, verse 39, he's hanging on the cross. He is dying for the sins of the world. And one of the thieves, one of the people who deserve to be there, look him right in the eye, and the thief says to him, "Are you not the Christ?" I mean, it's right there on that sign that they put above your head. Are you not really the one that they all say that you are? If that's the case, save yourself and save us. How many times, church, have we cried out to God, save us? And what the thief didn't understand, what he didn't realize, that at that very moment, the death of Jesus was exactly what was necessary to save him and himself and all of us. And I am so thankful that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was faithful unto death. That he did not forget the one who sent him. That he did not forget the purpose and the mission of what God had given him. And so I'd like us to read from Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53 this morning as we gather together with our families. As we gather together around this table. Let us remember what had been spoken of about Jesus so many years before he came and fulfilled this. Isaiah 53, starting in verse 3. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. And we all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. As we take the bread, let's go together in prayer. Father in heaven, we gather around this table, and with this bread we remember the body of Jesus and the sacrifice that he made. We understand and confess, Father, it is our sins, it is our iniquities, it is our lives missing the mark of perfection and being complete and holiness. This is exactly why Jesus had to die on the cross. And so we take this bread and we remember and we do this with thanksgiving and joy in our hearts because Jesus was willing to save the thief on the cross. Jesus was willing to save all of us by going through the pain and suffering, by enduring from evil hands exactly what he endured. He was pierced for our sins. We remember, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray together for the cup. Father in heaven, we at this time take the fruit of the vine. We take this cup, the blood of Jesus Christ, his life, because we know that life is in the blood, his life poured out on that ground so long ago and so far away. Father, we thank you for this cup because it reminds our hearts. It reminds us what is real, what is true, and what is eternal. What is truly important is the sacrifice of Jesus on our behalf. This is our confession. This is our faith. This is our salvation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to close it up. We're going to wrap up our time together. And for those of you that are visiting, checking in, you found us somehow, however the Lord led you to this service. We just pray that it was a blessing to you. And we just pray that you stay faithful and that you continue to be strong. Church, I'm talking to you right now. We will continue to put some lessons and some times together, and hopefully and prayerfully, Ben will be able to join me and just help me to continue to do this. So look for something before Wednesday evening so we can do something in the middle of the week. If you have prayer requests, share them. If you need to text me with a prayer request, just text me. If you want to put it on the Facebook page or the church page, for if you want to leave a comment with a prayer request, feel free to do that. If you would just rather share that with me and you want this to be prayed for in our services, share that with me and we will keep that connection going. Church, I love you so much, and I'm grateful for this opportunity to be in your homes with you today, and I look forward to the day when we can be in each other's physical presence, but we're going to do whatever we can. We're going to live our faith however we need to right now, so stay strong, stay faithful. Hebrews chapter 13, that's our charge this week. Continue to be faithful in the things that God has given us. We love you, and God loves you. Thank you for your time, and have an awesome day.